Welcome to Just a Minute! Hello, you lovely lot. Sue Perkins here. And as the minute waltz fades away into the background, what a joy to welcome you to the iconic show that is Just a Minute. We are still recording without a physical audience, but we do have a magnificent virtual one, which is 1,000 people strong. Welcome one and all. Hey! Hey, Barbara, how are you doing? You can put your trousers on now, lovely. They're listening in from living rooms and bedrooms all over the country, and perhaps, who knows, even from around the world. All are welcome. So let's introduce you to the four talented, delightful people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Sharparat Kosandi, Giles Brandreth, and Josie Lawrence. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. Style we're accustomed to, I'm going to be asking them to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. So let's see how that goes. Paul, we're going to start with you. And the subject on the card is In the Line of Duty. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on In the Line of Duty, starting now?
In the Line of Duty, as a professional entertainer, there are certain things that you must do. Never appear in front of an audience completely drunk. Slightly is not too bad, but if you are one over the eight, that is a terrible dereliction of duty. Playing Just a Minute, there is a line of duty in this particular show, I think. One always tries to listen to the fellow panellists fairly, don't interrupt them when they're going particularly well, if they make the mistake of repeating or deviating, then of course you are obliged to challenge that. But under the special chairmanship of Sue Perkins, we are experiencing a magnificent revival of this fantastic show, which during the last years had to be curtailed slightly because of the conditions that we found ourselves living in 20 ditto. But now we are back again and enjoying the full joy of this magnificent creation. Ian Messiter invented this back in the 1940s, and the show then was... Oh!
Josie, what's your challenge?
Repetition of show.
It was a repetition of show. Josie, that is a killer blow, because you have just 4 seconds to talk about In the Line of Duty. And your time starts now.
In the Line of Duty is a wonderful...
Paul.
Repetition of Antelope.
Paul's finally to the sense of hearing. Heard a word that didn't exist for the rest of us. But Josie, that just means you've got 2 seconds, an incorrect challenge according to the rules, so you persist and your time starts now.
Hastings is my favourite character in...
Well done, you were speaking as the little ones. Paul, that was also the most wonderful description of a pandemic. You just cast this wonderful rosy hue over the most dismal of times.
Yes, I created a nice picture until Josie came along and scribbled all over it.
Everyone's a villain in this game. You know that, Paul.
Absolutely.
Everyone's a villain.
Absolutely.
Josie, we're back with you now.
Oh, God help me.
And, I'm a big fan of this human. Your subject is Frida Kahlo. The magnificent Frida Kahlo. There's a big yay from the audience there. Big Frida Kahlo fan. You're listening to BBC Radio 4. You've got 60 seconds, Josie, and your time starts now.
This magnificent woman's image is found on placemats, cups, wallpaper, pictures, posters. Her beautiful, beautiful...
Giles, what's your challenge, Giles?
A repetition of beautiful.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Back to back beauty.
I got overexcited about her because she's wonderful.
She is a stunner and what a talent.
Absolutely.
The subject's with you, Giles. You've got 49 seconds to speak on Frida Kahlo, starting now.
She was indeed a great beauty, looking a little like you, if I may say so, Sue. A remarkable person and a magnificent artist. Married to a fellow painter called Diego Rivera. And I was lucky enough to visit Mexico a few years ago and to go to their home where they lived happily and painted opposite one another. And I have to say that Frida Kahlo's work has a kind of charge about it that makes you feel colour is for everyone. She was a unique creative talent, and how blessed the world was that her Mexican roots have spread around the world and now can be found on shopping bags and placemats as well as on the walls.
Oh, Shappy, a challenge.
I'm so sorry. I've muddled you up with Josie.
Oh, that's a nice confusion to
Josie
have made.
Josie said placemats and you said placemats.
Yeah.
And you are, I think, different people.
Last time I checked, and I did check before as part of the rigorous screening we do here, it was an incorrect challenge,
Sandy.
It was an
incorrect challenge.
Which means you keep the subject, Giles. And you have 10 fulsome seconds starting now.
You may visit the Tate Gallery in London to see some of Frida Kahlo's extraordinary work, and I recommend that you do, particularly in the room that is marked number 327.
Giles, you're speaking as the whistle went. You get the point. And with you now, Shappy, let's see what we've got in store for you. We've got, this gladdens my heart. My happy song. What can you tell us about that happy song? Your time starts now.
My happy song, or as I like to call it, my Shappy song, is most probably Bohemian Rhapsody. We sing it in the car with my children. We sing up.
Well, it was a cry for help, really, wasn't
it?
But it was a repetition of We Sing.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Correct challenge. So you've got 49 seconds. Let's hear about My Happy Song, Paul, starting now.
The song Smile, which not many people realise is written by Charlie Chaplin, is a fantastically happy song. Smile, though your heart is aching, even though it's... I've forgotten the words. Ironically, for a silent comedian, I can't remember the words.
Shappy, you were the first to challenge.
Okay.
What was your challenge?
Oh, sorry.
Just a bit of housekeeping first.
He hesitated and fumbled the word.
Absolutely.
Back with you, you've got 37 seconds, starting now.
Smile though your heart is aching, smile even though it's breaking.
Oh dear, there may be a problem with that, Josie will tell us.
It's a repetition of smile.
Yes.
Yes.
How ironic that word's brought so much chaos to proceedings today. 34 seconds on My Happy Song, starting now.
My happy song can change because I like to make up songs in my head. I remember once climbing a particularly steep mountain in China, singing I Am a Strong Person to the theme of the South Bank show. Sometimes happy songs can get you out of certain things that you don't want to be part of. If I'm stuck in an overcrowded underground train, for example, I will start singing a happy song, like I might be on a train, but I will not remain on.
Giles.
Repetition of train and repetition of songs in the plural.
Yes, both challenges correct, but I can only give you the 1 point for them. Don't test me now.
Yeah, don't test her now.
Don't test me now.
I was going to challenge, but I was going to wait till 4 seconds from the end.
Giles, that was a successful challenge, and this is going to irk both Josie and Paul, now they've spoken about just getting in at the last second, because there is only 1 second remaining on this topic.
Look at his little face.
Oh, look at his...
Look at his little face.
He's like a kid with his hand in the biscuit tin. My happy song, 1 second remaining, your time starts now.
Happy birthday to you, mashed bananas and stew.
Excellent stuff, Giles. Speaking as the whistle went, gets a point there. So, Giles, we're with you. Your subject is Little Women. Do you know anything about Little Women? Well, I guess we're going to find out. You've got 60 seconds. It starts now.
How grateful I am to live in the era of age, blind and gender-fluid casting. It means that I can play Joe, Amy, Meg and Beth in my one-person version of Little Women, the great novel published in 1869, written by Louisa May Alcott, whose family name was actually Alcock. Not a lot of people know that, and it is quite amusing in a slightly rude way. Little Women is, for me, a story that has romance, heartache, and moves you in a most remarkable manner. And I wish to essay the roles of all three of these four children because there is a humanity there and a touching...
Paul.
Sorry, did you say all three of these four children?
No, all of these four children.
There was a sort of slight staticky spittle-based guff. Yes. But I'm not entirely sure.
And are tickets available for this theatrical treat?
No, but I think you may have 4 seconds now, so enjoy them.
I don't actually think that was the case. I'm going to reside it with you, Giles, so you have 20 seconds remaining.
Oh, 20 seconds.
And your time starts now.
I most recently went to see a production of Little Women performed by authentic female actors. And I have to say, it was rather better than my version of this same drama, because you do need the reality of youngsters actually essaying these roles to give us a sense...
Oh,
did we have roles before?
I think we certainly had a saying as well. I think, yes. But roles, yes. And you, Paul, will be delighted to know that you've got 3 seconds remaining to tell us about Little Women. It's poetic what's happening
right
now.
It is, it's poetic.
It's poetic.
Yes.
Your time starts now.
As I opened up the glove compartment of my car, out jumped Jeanette Cranky.
We've all had that experience. Well done, Paul. You were speaking as the whistle went. And at the end of that round, I do believe it's time for some light scoring. So, it's all to play for, because in second place, we've got Shappy, but in joint first position in the crowded field, we have Paul and Giles and Josie. So... Oh. Shappy, you're only a gnat behind. Oh, bumper to bumper. So...
Did you say she's got a gnat behind?
Oh, I wasn't aware I was mic'd in that moment. A rare unguarded moment.
So.
You're very welcome. Paul, we're back with you again. And the subject on the card, adult education. So can you speak for 60 seconds on adult education? Your time starts now.
I never benefited from adult education in terms of somebody else teaching me how to be an adult. I am essentially an autodidact, but I do close the curtains. I left school with a couple of bad A-levels and some mediocre O of the same variety, and I thought to myself that I didn't really need proper exams to pursue a career in show business. Adult education, as a comedian, you learn to teach yourself good habits and try and avoid the bad ones. Don't appear drunk on stage is something that you should always aspire to. Always find... Oh, no, two always.
Ah, it's a shame. You were going very beautifully. Giles.
Repetition of always.
Absolutely.
Yes.
How quickly do you buzz, Giles?
Really quickly.
He practices at home. I know that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. He's got a selection of buzzers at home and he just runs from one to the other and... That training's paid off, hasn't it?
I think so.
Really?
Such a strong thumb.
Thank you.
Let's not speculate how he got it.
So, Giles, you have the topic. It was a correct challenge. You've got 26 seconds remaining. Your time starts now.
Regular listeners may be aware that I've been drawn to a Channel 4 programme entitled Naked Attraction. This is where I'm getting my adult education. And can I tell you, it cannot be more adult or more educational, because we see people stripped down to nothing. When I was a child, I was not introduced to the facts of life by my parents. They said this is something for adult education. And now, many years later, I find that this programme, Late at Night on TV...
Giles, can we deduce from that that you have only just learnt the facts of life?
I told him before we started.
Well done.
That's why he's got such a strong thumb.
Yes. Very much the case. So, Josie, we are with you. Oh. You've got the subject of Oklahoma. 60 seconds, starting... Now.
Oklahoma is a wonderful Rodgers and Hammerstein musical that I had the pleasure of being part of at Chichester in a
Shappy.
Oh, I'm sorry, did she hesitate?
Listen, it was the most marginal of hesitations.
Marginal.
But I'll give you that, Shappy. It was a correct challenge. Ooh. So you've got a fulsome 50 seconds to speak on Oklahoma, starting now.
I'm so delighted that I have this subject of Oklahoma, because not only have I never seen the musical, I also know very, very little about the place in America. There we
Giles.
Go.
Very, very repetition of
indeed. Oh, yes.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, I wouldn't have anything else to say. I wouldn't even know how to spell it, so I think I self-sabotage there.
Yes, I mean, you provided a very complex buffet in the last couple of seconds. You interrupted somebody who was in full flow and then admitted you know nothing about the subject.
I'm just going to sit here and exercise my thumb for a little bit.
No, don't do that. We need you. We need you. Giles, you've got 42 seconds on Oklahoma, starting now.
I so loved the musical Oklahoma that I went to see another show entitled Virginia, hoping it might be a sequel. It turned out to be a drama about Mrs. Wolfe and Vita Sackville West, a different together alter thing. Oklahoma.
Josie.
Well, I think I'm going to say deviation.
Well, when do you think you're going to say it?
Now would be a great time.
Now.
No. Hesitation in saying deviation.
I sensed where Giles was going there. You were spinning off from Oklahoma, but I sense only temporarily.
Very much
you.
So.
All right.
I'm going to give Giles the benefit of the doubt, but I won't be doing very much of that in his direction because it excites him too much. So, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have 28 seconds starting now.
I love a Surrey with the fringe on top. Every song from this great show is a delight to me. And when I went to the Chichester Festival Theatre not long ago...
Paul.
Repetition of show.
No, no, not in this context.
No.
I think there may well have been a repetition of show there.
I think there was.
So it's a correct challenge from Paul, and that means Paul gets the topic of Oklahoma with 20 seconds remaining, and your time starts now.
When I was six, my parents moved to Oklahoma, but didn't tell me, so it took me 15 years to find out where they were. And Oklahoma, the blue skies above, the heavenly ground, the brown, earthy quality to it. As you walked across in your bare feet, feeling it between your toes, you could say to yourself, I'm in Oklahoma. It grabs my...
The buzzer there interrupting the Oklahoman reverie.
Oh, damn. Did you see my Oklahoma,
I
Ben
did
Giles?
Indeed see your Oklahoma. Made yes. You fall in love with musical theatre all over again.
I never ever want to hear the phrase, have you seen my Oklahoma, Giles, ever again? That's what I'm saying.
It's better than saying, have you seen my Mary Poppins?
Congratulations, Paul. A lovely evocation of Oklahoma. Chappie, here's a challenge. How I would win MasterChef. Your time starts now.
How I would win MasterChef is a subject I do know a little about. I was on Celebrity MasterChef. I did not come first in that programme. Not a lot of people know this, but the longer you stay in the rounds, the more money you get. That is the incentive. I was pregnant. I knew that if I got to the third go at making something new, I would get enough dosh to give myself maternity leave. So I cooked beautifully, got to that round, and then I made a sandwich.
Giles, an interruption.
Repetition of round.
Oh, yes.
She avoided it successfully once and then came back to it.
It was a round of sandwiches.
Yes.
It was...
May I ask what the sandwich was as a subsidiary question?
It was a fish sandwich, maybe.
Like a tuna sandwich.
Yeah, and they said, why she made picnic food. You know, I'm not really a very competitive person. I don't know if it comes across.
That's okay. I very much enjoyed the 33 seconds you
yes.
did
okay.
on MasterChef.
You never know, I might get it back.
You never know. Well, Giles, the subject's with you after a successful challenge, and you've got 27 seconds remaining. Your time starts now.
I choose geometry as my specialist subject because as a boy, I loved a book called Here's Looking at Euclid. I knew both Magnus Magnusson and indeed John Humphreys. And I have to say that...
Chappie.
I'm sorry, I'm a bit confused. Isn't this about MasterChef?
Yes, that's what I thought.
You used to talk about Mastermind.
Oh, you're doing Mastermind.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. This tells you everything you need to know about me. I'm so sorry. Yes, I did. Isn't that not what we're talking about?
No, I was wondering when we were going to rein it back into food when I was transported.
Giles, why did you think I would have made a sandwich on Mastermind?
I thought you'd chosen cookery as your specialist subject.
The subject goes back after the deviation to Chappie. So you have got 17 seconds about MasterChef starting now.
If I ever got the opportunity to win MasterChef again or indeed be on the programme, I would practice the cookery skills that is needed to do well in such a programme. I think... Oh,
Paul,
programme.
Repetition of programme.
Yeah. Absolutely right. and you've got in with 6 seconds remaining. How I would win MasterChef, your time starts now.
I would have a MasterChef standing behind me with his arms sticking through, mixing all the ingredients together so it looked like I was doing it, but in fact, it was him.
No one's done that. That's a good ploy. I like that. Giles, lovely, can you please start us off on Can You Dig It? If you thought MasterChef was confusing, I'm looking forward to you really digging this reference. Can you dig it? 60 seconds to tell us if you can, starting now.
Can you dig it? Man, can I dig it. Hip talk is my talk. I'm one cool, sick dude.
Yes, Josie.
Repetition of talk?
Hip talk is my talk.
Oh.
Yeah.
When he says hip talk, he's talking about his hip.
Yes. A correct challenge, Josie. You've got 54 seconds. Can you dig it? Time starts now.
Now, this is a question I want to ask a particular creature in my garden, because the answer to Can You Dig It would most certainly be Yes, I can. And it's Mr. Fox. I went out...
Ooh, Paul.
I would disagree that the fox would say, yes, I can, because I'm not sure that the fox would, I mean, unless, of course, where Josie lives...
I was being slightly surreal.
Yeah, and wrong.
You're allowed whimsy. We're all allowed whimsy.
We are allowed whimsy.
I'm going to say it was an incorrect challenge from Paul. We must allow whimsy at all times, and so we will allow you to talk to your fox. You've got 41 seconds, starting now.
This particular creature has dug holes everywhere in my little place. Underneath my bamboo and also my other plants, I don't know what to do about it. Apparently, he can dig so well that I've decided to ask a male friend.
Paul.
Repetition of ask.
Is correct, yes. A correct challenge. 24 seconds remaining, Paul, on the subject of Can You Dig It? And your time starts now.
There was a Manchester band called the Mock Turtles in the 1990s who had a big hit with their song Can You Dig It? The lead singer is the brother of Steve Coogan, who comes from a very large Irish Catholic family, and it was one of the great tunes of that era. I have their album at home, and there are many brilliant songs to rival Can You Dig It? I won't go through the others because that would deviation, but instead, let me hum to you.
So congrats to Paul, who was speaking as the whistle went. Why not have a few scores? Mm. Very, very close again still. Fourth place, Shappy. Third, Josie. Just ahead of Josie, we've got Giles. And in first place, Paul. Ooh. But come on, it's all to play for. Josie,
yes.
The next topic for you is what's in a name? You've got 60 seconds to tell us that, starting now.
What's in a name? The Hollywood studios of old were very interested in... Oh, damn.
Shappy.
Oh, I'm sorry to... hesitated.
Hesitation. Yes.
Absolutely. It's cruel, but it's fair, and it's got to be done within the rules of just a minute.
I'm not with it tonight, am I?
You've had a lot of fox problems. Don't give yourself a hard
That's
time.
That's true.
But in around your bamboo...
I need a man to come and pee in my garden.
Well, there's an offer. If you're a man and you're listening and you want to wee in Josie's garden, I do believe she's on Twitter. You can make your own arrangements. I do not wish for legal reasons... to be involved. So we've just got 54 seconds remaining. What's in a name? It's with you, Shappy. Your time starts now.
There's quite a lot in a name, and it can say so. Ah,
Paul.
Well, it is a bit harsh, but it was a sort of hesitation.
It was bordering on a hesitation, but you're right, it was harsh. I'm going to give you that point because it was correct, but I'm going to keep the subject with Shappy, if that's all right.
Sure.
Because this is the final round, and I want to hear... It is the final round, and I want to hear from Shappy, because I believe there's jewels to be had. What's in a name, Shappy? Take us through. You've got 50 seconds. Your time starts now.
My little girl thinks that the names of my friends are very old-fashioned. When she hears me talk about Greg and Mark and Susan, she laughs and says they're all names from the olden days. She is 8 years old. Her best friends are called Betty and Mabel. My name is Shappy, but I've always been known as Sharpadak at home with my parents. Growing up, that name was problematic for teachers when they were reading out the register. They would say...
Oh, Giles interrupting a profound point from Shaparak.
But that's an audible hesitation.
It was indeed, and therefore a correct challenge.
It's just we had a teacher at school and she'd always hesitate before she read out the register. I was just impersonating her. Mrs. Wybrow, her name was.
Mrs. Wybrow?
Mrs. Wybrow.
I'm still fuming over the idea that Susan is an old-fashioned name. Giles, correct challenge under the rules of just a minute. You've got 20 seconds in What's in a Name, starting now.
What's in a name, or nomen est omen, as the old Latin tag has it. The name is everything. And Oscar Wilde, who believed...
Paul.
Well, he started to slow down, didn't he? I mean, yes. he was searching for the next word and couldn't quite find Oscar Wilde. Yeah. You know, it was sort of like... It's like he was playing at 78, he went down to 33 and a third.
Yeah, there were some long vowels there.
Like, you got very long vowels. Yeah.
I was channeling Mrs. Wybrow, who was a rather remarkable teacher.
But it sounded like you were on a Zoom call and the signal had gone out.
Yes. Yes. But I think all of which goes to say that we are ruling against you now, the collective, as we've now become. You could have bathed in those vowels, and much as I love your delicious velvety tones, I think they were stretched beyond the rules. Yes. So Paul has a successful challenge. You've got 9 seconds, Paul, and this is the final round, and your time starts now.
In the golden age of Hollywood, you had to have a certain name to become a star. Archibald Leach, that was his name when he was first born, but he became Cary Grant. We can't...
Paul, speaking as the whistle went, gets that point. And as I say, that was the final subject in the final round. So that means it's time for scores. Shappy, you just faded off at the end there, which means you're in fourth place. But nonetheless, I enjoyed every second of your contributions. Josie, in third. Very tight at the top, as always, between these two titans of the game. But today, in second place, we have Giles, which means today's winner is Paul Merton!
Yay!
And there, sadly, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, a big thanks to our wonderful players for playing the game so magnificently today. Paul Merton, Shaparak Kosandi, Giles Brandreth and Josie Lawrence. We are hugely indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this jewel of a show. And of course, to the legendary Nicholas Parsons, who chaired it for over 50 years. We also thank Caroline Barlow, who blew her whistle with aplomb, and our producer, Hayley Sterling, who makes this show for BBC Studios. This is Sue Perkins saying thanks for listening. Do please join us again when we next play Just a Minute. Until then, goodbye. Thank you.